Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
Party all by myself, and I had the patio door screen open there where I could get a breeze from outside. And while I was bawling my eyes out and telling God how much flesh I had and how much impossibility there was in our life for Him to move for us, and feeling very unable to do what God wanted us to do, I was interrupted from this pity party by a bumblebee buzzing at the screen door. And his buzzing grew so loud that pretty soon that's all that filled my mind was this buzzing going on all over this door by this bumblebee. And this tune started coming to me. And these words that we just sang, if I fly, then you can too, and came to me, and I wrote them down on a piece of paper. And after I wrote the chorus, the bumblebee went away. And I sat there amazed at this bumblebee preaching to me and telling me about him having this great big body and little wings, and yet he's telling me the creation that was made and created in the image and likeness of God Almighty, he was having to tell me that if he could fly, then I could too. And Charlotte came in the door about this time, and she asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, you won't believe it, but a bumblebee just sang this song to me. And I was afraid that she would call up the doctors and have them bring out the straitjacket and cart me off. But instead, she sat down next to me on the bed, and she said, well, I wish that he would come back and sing to me also. And right at that instant, we heard a loud buzzing at the screen door. And the bumblebee came back, and we sat hand in hand with tears flowing down our cheeks. And she would write one line that the bumblebee sang to her, and I wrote the other line that he sang to me. Now I hope that this will minister to you. If you've got a great big body and little wings, you're going to fly. Because the bumblebee did.
I'm a fan as you can see. It was impossible for me. Now I glide through the free. For His purpose to be seen in me. On your own, you'll never sail to the heights where God remains. Just stand fast in God.
Get it either. Hallelujah. If I fly, then you can too. Just believe in God in you. For the day
I want to share a few things with you this weekend about the intimacy of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, I love that Bumblebee song. First time that I heard that song, I just wept and wept. Because I could remember when I was that flesh pot that was trying to live a godly life, and I was such a failure. This is one bumblebee that couldn't fly. But yet as I heard that song and I was, you know, it just took me back. There was such a gratitude in my heart. As I was listening to that song, there was such a gratitude in my heart that I was learning how to fly. That I had got into that law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, this language is so hard. We want so desperately to put this into an expression that everyone doesn't just hear and understand, but an expression that will cause you to walk into the experience, because that's what we need. We've had teaching for 2,000 years. We need experience. But I was so grateful the first time I heard that song that God had taught me how to fly, had taught me how to fly over the desires of the flesh, taught me how to soar above bitterness and anger and resentment. But yet, you know, you can't learn that in the natural. You quoted this earlier. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're even foolishness unto him. You see, when you see another Christian who is perhaps anger or full of bitterness, or whatever the problem might be, and you say to them, look, you know, you're a Christian. You shouldn't act that way anymore. All you're doing is telling the bumblebee he has to fly. We have experienced, those of us who are Christians, sometimes we can be quite a mixture, because we've met the Lord. We've been regenerated. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And we know that the Scriptures tell us that if we're children of God, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which means that everything that he has, everything that he accomplished, and everything that he is ours. But you see, that's not to the flesh man. That's to the spirit man. That's to the regenerated man. That's to the new creation man. You see, the bumblebee in relation to your flesh will never fly. But you see, the flying is in the new creation man. Now, Paul said here in Galatians 4 and 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generates to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Well, Abraham had two sons, and we all know who those sons were. They were, what, Isaac and Ishmael. Now, God had made Abraham a promise. And the promise that God made to Abraham was that his seed would be a blessing to every family on the earth. And he promised Abraham a son. And we all know the story that Abraham got a little bit tired of waiting on the child of promise, and with a little influence from his wife, he took his handmaiden and produced Ishmael. Now remember, Paul says this is an allegory, and this represents two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. Ishmael represents the old covenant, the child born according to the flesh. And Isaac represents the spiritual child, the new creation man. So which covenant do we want to cling to? Have you ever realized that the old covenant, the law that came from Mount Sinai, was to the man of flesh? And the promise is to Isaac. The promise, and we know Isaac represented Christ. Ishmael represents the flesh, and Christ represents the spirit. So there is no way that you can take the flesh and make it fly. Oh, how we need a revelation that goes beyond the intellectual understanding of we are a new creation. Now, I know when I was here the last time, I shared somewhat about the new creation man. But we need to realize that in the new creation man, there is absolutely nothing of the old. But we also need to realize that in the old, there is nothing of the new. In the old, unrenewed mind, in the natural mind, in the natural man, no matter how good he is, no matter how religious he is, no matter whether or not he has been regenerated, born again, in the natural thinking, the natural understanding, in the carnality of man, there is no hope. Absolutely no hope. Yet the covenant of the law that came from Mount Sinai was to the flesh man for one purpose and one purpose only, to make that man realize that he was absolutely hopeless to measure up to what God wanted in humanity. And so the law was given to bring you and me to the place where we could cry as Paul did, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can possibly deliver me from this body of death?" In the natural thinking, the carnal nature of man, you have to hear this again, there is nothing of the new. The gospel is not for the carnal human nature of man. The gospel is to the new creation man. You see, Calvary is not about saving and remaking the old man. Calvary is to unveil you and make you realize that you are so valuable in the eyes of God that he went to the cross to prove his love for you and to unveil you to your true nature and identity. And speaking about preaching from that song, I did it about 3 months ago in Denver. I spoke for 90 minutes on that song. I will take you back to where you were before the fall of man. You see, that's been a real problem for us, is not knowing where we came from. But the moment that you are regenerated, you have that spark of his life. By the way, why does it use the word regenerated? We need to be regenerated because at one time we were. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his image, and in Genesis chapter 2, he formed that man and breathed that man into a physical body. You know, the Christian life is so simple. That's why it's hard to really get it across to God's people, because, you know, all of us have that heart for God. Why are you here tonight? If you didn't have a heart for God, why would you be here tonight? See, the problem isn't that we don't have a heart for God. The issue is that you're still living, most of us, and me included to a certain extent, living according to the carnal understanding. And as long as you are trying within your human nature and your carnal mind, as long as you are trying within yourself to produce God, you'll only produce an Ishmael. And I've produced a few of them. I'm sure we all have. But when you understand that God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed, and Paul said in Galatians that the seed was Christ. So basically, the new covenant was a promise to the seed of God, which seed you are. So you have to take the human, carnal, limited thing out of this and realize that God made a promise to the seed. Now, do you have the seed of God in you? Because what you realize, once you're regenerated, you realize that you have the seed of God in you. And if you understand that God made a covenant with that seed, and the covenant that he made with that seed was that he will bring you into maturity. You can find that throughout the Word. David mentioned tonight in Ephesians, Paul said, you have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You have been chosen, you have been predestinated, you have been called. The book of Ephesians is full of the revelation of what God has done for the seed. So if you understand that God has made a promise to you, not to this carnal understanding, because as we know that the old creation was terminated at the cross, and the promise is to the seed of God, which seed you are. If you have just a teeny revelation of that seed of God in you, you will begin to fly like the bumblebee. Because, you see, we hear scriptures like on overcoming. Revelation, we know, the first three chapters or so talks about, to the overcomer I will make a pillar. To the overcomer I will give to eat of the hidden manna. To the overcomer, to the overcomer, to the overcomer. If we are standing in our limited human consciousness, listening to those voices or listening to those words, we know that we will never overcome. But if you understand what an overcomer is, an overcomer is one who has been awakened by the Spirit of God. An overcomer is one who has been regenerated. An overcomer is one who God has removed the veil from their eyes to see that they are his seed upon the earth. And once you see that you are the seed of God on the earth, you cannot be anything else but an overcomer. But as long as you are living in a limited, human, frail consciousness of being a carnal human being, you will always try to overcome and not make it. Two covenants. Isaac and Ishmael. These two men represent the whole Bible, really. An unveiling of two men. Isaac is an unveiling of Christ in you. Isaac is a revelation of the mystery of God, which is God manifested in the flesh. Isaac is a revelation of the child of promise who does nothing but realize he is the son of God and an heir of God and does nothing to obtain all of the promises. They're just his. And Ishmael represents the flesh of man, the carnality of man, the human personality with its frailties, its weaknesses, its sins. Ishmael is a revelation of mystery Babylon, the great harlot, because the great harlot, the mystery Babylon, is just that, a great mixture. Ishmael can be religious. Ishmael can know God. Ishmael can be blessed mightily of God. What did Abraham say to God? He said, oh God, that Ishmael may live before you. And God said to Abraham, I will bless Ishmael. And so people look at this, the Christian system out here, that's being blessed abundantly by God, and total deception. He said, I'll bless Ishmael. Ishmael represents the work of your hands. Look at the ministries that are being built and raised up by the work of men's hands. Carnally minded men building empires and organizations and buildings unto themselves. I will bless Ishmael because most of them are doing it out of a good heart and a darkened understanding. Yes, I'll bless the work of your hands, but my promise is to Isaac. You see, Isaac doesn't have the mixture. Isaac represents the spirit of man. Ishmael represents the soul, the human personality. Isaac represents the purity, no mixture. Within you, you have been regenerated, and you are now, not someday will be, but you are today a son of God. Full grown? No. Mature? Probably not. Do you know that if one day you realize that you had been born the son of a king and had been kidnapped as a child and given a false identity, that there may come a day when somehow you're restored to that position, that everything in the kingdom would be yours by right. And it was even before you knew it. Well, that's you today. And because, mainly due to religious tradition and teachings, we still think that we must do something to earn God's favor. You know, if you'll search the scriptures, you'll find out that God, he makes promises in two different ways, basically. Sometimes God says, if you do this, I will do that. And if you don't do that, he's not going to do this. But other times, he gives promises like he gave to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. And when God makes a promise like that, and he says to you, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed, we can look at Abraham and see that Abraham's performance was not always up to par. But you see, your performance does not alternate God's promises. The word very clearly tells us, Peter tells us, that we are made partakers of the divine nature. See, we're not sons of men, all according to the flesh, but we are sons of God according to the Spirit. And that's why Paul told the Corinthians, he said, he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit. Have you been regenerated? If you have been regenerated, regeneration takes place in your spirit. And the man who has been regenerated has oneness with God in spirit. So what we need when we become regenerated is to get out of the natural thinking, the natural understanding, to get out of the religious traditions and teachings, and begin to fellowship with God in his spirit. Now, I can't tell you how to do that. I can give you some instruction and some helpful ways. But every man, woman, boy, and girl can learn to fellowship with God in spirit. And that's a great dilemma today, because almost all the peoples of the religions will say, where do we worship? And the only answer God ever gave to as to where to worship, he said, God is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit. Not in your mind, but in spirit. The natural man, the natural mind, the carnal understanding, you cannot worship God out of that natural mind. We have tried it for years, and we still try it because we have that hunger in our hearts. But you cannot worship him with the mind. You must worship him in spirit. And the only way that you can learn to worship him in spirit is to learn how to bypass your natural thinking and understanding. One of the most valuable things you will ever do in your life is learn how to quiet your mind and sit in the presence of God in the quiet. Have you ever tried? Now, I realize that in most religious circles today, in almost all of the denominations and system of Christianity, they will warn you against quieting your mind. Because they say, if you quiet your mind and there's nothing going on in your mind, you will be deceived by a seducing spirit. Well, you will be seduced, but it will be by the Spirit of God. I had a preacher friend a couple of years ago send me an article by someone who said basically that same thing, that, you know, that you could be deceived by sitting in the quiet and quieting your mind. How could you, if you have a hunger for God and you want God with all of your heart, and so you go into the quiet, and Jesus taught this, you go into the closet and you close your door, you enter into your spirit and you sit in the quiet with a heart open to God, with a heart that is seeking after God, he's going to give you a devil? I don't think so. I can tell you, I began to learn how to fly by doing this. And I can also tell you that if you haven't practiced this, it's impossible. Try to quiet your mind, and you'll see how much traffic is really there. You'll want to do anything. You'd rather read the Bible, teach Sunday school, go out and witness on the street, but to sit in the quiet is absolutely impossible. Because the carnal, that you'll, the carnality, the natural thinking and understanding will lose its hold on you when you learn how to quiet the mind and sit in the quiet and know. God says, be still and know that I am God. You may not hear God's voice when you sit in the quiet, but you will begin to have revelation like you never thought possible. You see, we get into the Ishmael thing where we will do anything, any kind of activity. I mean, there was a time in my young Christian life, you could, if I valued you as far as if I thought that you were a true messenger from God, you could tell me to do anything and I'd do it. But I wouldn't sit in the quiet. Not for a while, not until I learned the value of it. Two covenants, one according to the flesh and one according to the spirit. And you see, that's the joy of understanding the new creation man, because you don't have to do anything. It's all yours by promise. And another thing that Christians haven't understood is that when they are regenerated, they have a new heart. We're told even today in pulpits across America, people will tell regenerated, born-again people that they have a wicked heart. You can't trust your heart. Well, you can't trust your mind. But you see, that's part of the covenant, the new covenant, is what? That I will take out your stony heart, I will give you a heart of flesh, and then I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk. Boy, isn't that a wonderful promise? That's what he says. You see, the old covenant was according to the flesh. And God made it impossible so that the flesh man would have no hope and stand. The whole world stands condemned in the old covenant, as well it should. But there's a new covenant. There's a new creation. There's a new man. You see, it's not just that your spirit is regenerated. You know, people don't even know what spirit is. Some people teach even the Spirit of God is just this nebulous, windy, etherical something that, you know. Well, tell me something. Does God have a mind, emotion, and will? See, and that's what I began to have a revelation of years ago. That what happened to me when I was regenerated, it wasn't just that the Spirit of God, you know, by some mystical way stirred me up, but there was another person inside of me. You see, for 29 years, I thought that I was this person by the name of Gary Sigler, who his personality and his identity had been formed by his parents, by his schooling, by his culture. That's who I thought I was. But one day I discovered, after I was regenerated, I discovered that there was another person on the inside of me. It's that man who is born of God. And you know, 1 John says that he that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither indeed can he sin, because he's born of God. He said, he that is born of God keeps himself. Well, you know, I questioned my salvation when I first understood, or thought I understood that verse. But you see, that verse is to the new creation man. You have a life in you that it's impossible for that life to sin. But as long as you're living out of this old consciousness, this old mind, this old man that was crucified 2,000 years ago, you never understand, never experience flying above the law of sin and death. The gospel was not to you as that human personality. The gospel was to the seed of God. You weren't just born again. You are a brand new creation. Inside of you is God manifested in the flesh. That's who we be, as David says. David said, we just be who we be. Has absolutely nothing to do with our performance. It has everything to do with God unveiling us to our true identity. We again are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey. That's who you are. You are a spiritual being. Jesus prayed in John 17 for this revelation to come to his people. He prayed that we would have a revelation, that we would understand that same life and that same character, that same nature that was in him was in all of his believers. And he said, this is the only revelation that will cause the whole world to understand that God is God. And when we all understand, not intellectually, but by revelation and realization, our oneness with God. Now, this may offend some of you, and I don't do that purposely. But I'll tell you what, you have as much information in here as you want to. But as long as you can cause and bring division in any way, shape, or form to the body of Christ, you do not know God intimately. We are one, not in our intellect, not in our Bible understanding. We'll never be one there with that old natural mind. You see, our oneness and our unity is in spirit. The same Christ, the same character, the same life, the same ability that is in me is in you. And our oneness is in His life, not in our human religious understanding. You see, the revelation of Christ in you will tear down the walls of division and denominationalism, tear down every wall. And also, the very first thing that you experience when Christ Himself is being formed in you, and you have the revelation, the realization of walking in Christ, you will have a totally different concept about all of humanity. I've been sharing across America, and I may even share it here a little bit, so I'll just say a few words about this, about the parable of the sower, that the good seed was planted in the same field as the tare. The good seed is Christ, and the tare is the human personality. And they are both growing in the same field. You see, religion will tell you, hey, fella, you're okay. Have you come to an altar and said, Jesus, I receive you? Then you're the wheat. All the other ungodly people, all those who have never, all those God haters and God rejectors, they're the tare. And as long as you have that concept, you cannot know God. Now, again, language is limited. Yes, we know God if we've been regenerated and born again. But we can know God, and we can know Him intimately. The word God uses for knowing Him is the same word as an intimate relationship with your wife. When He said to those men, depart from me, for I never knew you, who said, Lord, they come to Him and said, Lord, we've cast out demons, we've raised the sick, the dead, we've healed the sick. And He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. The word know is the intimacy. I did not know you intimately. And once you begin to know Him intimately, He will reveal to you His heart for all of humanity. And you will come to understand that every human being is precious in the sight of God. And the only reason that they are rebellious, whoremongers, adulterers, idolaters, is because they do not have the knowledge and the revelation of God that you have. And how dare you condemn them? Paul said, what are we that we haven't received? He said in one place, it's by grace that we are saved. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And then he told the Romans that every man has received a measure of faith. You may feel that there's people out here that have no realization. I mean, no faith at all. But you can stir it up. If you understand that God is not condemning them, you see, This message is not for an elite few. The parable of the sower, the pearl of great price, that it's God said that He bought the whole field. See, the pearl of great price is the seed of God that lies dormant in most of creation. Because you were created a spiritual being before you ever entered into this earthly realm. And that is the pearl of great price. And that is why that God says that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world unto Himself, not imputing unto men their trespasses. God is not holding you accountable, and that's why the revelation of the cross is so vitally important. And to hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, He didn't just say that for the men that nailed Him to the cross. That was for the world. You see, they don't know what they're doing. They do not realize that all they need is to be awakened. They need to be regenerated. They need someone who has the heart and the understanding of God that can speak to them and cause the seed of God in them to awaken, to be regenerated. Yet we go out and tell them, you old sinners, you're hell. We don't bring them the good news of the gospel of their salvation. We bring them the news of judgment and condemnation. And I'm going to talk about that this weekend, about how that we cannot just know, but we must experience God's righteousness. You see, you can tell me all day long that God has forgiven me and I am righteous in His sight. And it's wonderful knowledge, and we must have that information. But I'll tell you, you can know that you know that you know that you are just as righteous and holy in His sight as Jesus Himself. Not in Adam, the old nature, you see. And therein lies our problem, is that we always expect that this old nature is someday we're going to be able to put it down and overcome it. And we have been given message after message about denying the flesh and putting to death the old man, when the revelation that will come to you is that that old man no longer exists. That on the cross, the old creation went into death. Sin, hell, the death, everything was terminated at the cross. And at the resurrection, there was a germination of a new creation that came into being. You see, Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. The word plainly reveals that He is the first begotten among many brethren. If He is my brother, that means that we have the same Father. And if we have the same Father, we have the same life, the same nature, the same love, the same ability. This is the gospel to Isaac. This is the new covenant. How do we experience this? This was my dilemma for years. When I discovered the truth of this, my dilemma was, my God, how do I get out of this Adamic mindset? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it is said that law came by Moses, but grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. We all know that law brought the flesh into bondage and produced sin and death, which it should. But grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. And if you trace the word grace, you'll find that one of the root words of grace is enjoyment. That's how you be an overcomer. You begin to learn how to enjoy God in reality. And you can do that by having a revelation, for instance, of the blood. The very first thing we experience as a Christian is Passover. And if you really understand Passover, which most Christians don't today because we're still under the guilt and condemnation for our old nature and our old mindset. But if you really experience Passover the way it was meant to be experienced, you would never again ever come under condemnation for your sin. Now, I'm not telling you God won't deal with you, but you don't have to be condemned over it. You can simply discern it for what it is. You can take the scripture, and the living and abiding word of God will divide you and separate you so that you can, it'll divide your soul and spirit so that you can look at the flesh and see it for what it is and not be condemned over it. Not too many experience Passover. Passover simply means that, hey, we're little children. And John says, my little children, I would that you sin not. Now, that would be the ideal, that we come to God, we experience Passover, and from that point, we don't sin no more. That would be the ideal. He said, my little children, I would that you sin not, but if you do, know that you have an advocate. And He is the propitiation for your sins, and not for yours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Because the cross is not guilty. So, of course, we don't want to sin. If you're a Christian and you want to sin, I would doubt that you ever really experience God. Now, of course, our flesh will always want to sin, but there's something deep down on the inside of you. If you have been born again, there's a cry deep on the inside of you that's crying to be released from the bondage of sin and death. And when you experience Passover in its reality, you'll be so thankful for the blood of Jesus. And when I discovered the reality of Passover, I'll tell you, I had a bunch of stuff in my life. But at the end of my day, after looking back, you know, the bumblebee trying to fly and couldn't, at least not realizing he could, I was so thankful to know that He died for the ungodly. In fact, you know, Paul said, He justifies the ungodly. And Paul says that, he said, we wait for the hope of righteousness, which comes by faith. Well, faith is a gift of God. I hung on to scriptures like that for years. Another one is that he that would come to God, in Hebrews, must believe that He is, and what? That He is a rewarder of them that, now this is the word that trips everybody up, diligently seek Him. Now, if you are a diligent seeker of the Lord, it is only because He gave you the grace and calling you. And you say, but Gary, what do I do if I don't have the diligence? Well, there had been many times in my life that I lost the diligence and I would give up. And so I would just say, God, I'm not even hungry for you anymore. You got to help me here. I need deliverance. You see, this is not about self-seeking, self-striving, mastering the self. It has nothing to do with that old creation. It's all about God unveiling Christ within you. This whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, is a revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But as then he that was born after the flesh, the natural man, the carnal man, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. You want to be persecuted? Of course, none of us do. You begin to have a revelation of the love of God for all of humanity. And you begin to share with the world that God loves them unconditionally. That he didn't die for a few people who said, Jesus, I receive you, but he purchased the whole field. That as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. He who is born after the flesh, the religious systems of this world, would crucify you all over again if they could, because of a revelation of a God who is so big and so wonderful and loves us so much that he purchased the field. There isn't a person that ever steps on this earth who will not one day be. What does that say? You see, that's why it's so important for you to know where you came from. You know, and I can sit here all day. This is foolish to the natural man. I could sit here all day and tell you, your life didn't begin when you were born. I mean, that's foolishness. What are you saying? God is bringing revelation. He is removing the veil from our eyes. He is taking us back to where we were before the fall of man. He is restoring our soul. He's reconciling our heart and giving us back our true identity. Just supposing, now this happened to me, just supposing that one day you had been seeking after God with all of your heart for, you know, for at least 13 years as a miserable failure, trying to, not knowing this bumblebee could fly, sitting, weeping, hopeless, and God spoke a few words to me. He said, John saw you in the book of Revelation. We all need this revelation, folks. And if you're open to it, God will speak to you. You don't need to hear me say this. A lot of times what we speak as ministers of the word is to just confirm what the Lord has been already speaking to you.
Amen.
See, we're confirmers of the word. We're not teachers of the word. We're confirmers of the word. And when God said, John saw you in the book of Revelation, and then I went there and I saw where it says, every kindred, every tribe, every nation, every tongue was given glory to God. And God said, John saw you there among the redeemed. And here I was, this miserable, wretched person, doing everything within my power, trying to be a good Christian and totally failing. You know, I thought for years I was the absolute worst person on the earth when it comes to living the Christian life. And today I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I wasn't able to do it. You don't have enough money to get me into that Christian system. They don't want me anyway. Thank God for the day that we are living in. And so what I try to do everywhere I go is just stir up the hearts of God's people and get them to seek after him. Stop the activity. There was a time when after even pastoring for 3.5 years, God said to me, stop, sit down, and shut up. And I didn't do anything for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And he totally stripped everything that I knew. I can't even tell you, you know, I used to quote books of the Bible. Books of it. Romans and Ephesians. And now I can't tell you it's John 1, 2, or I can put you in the ballpark. That's about it. But I'm telling you, God totally stripped me. And one day I was even, you know, I told my wife, Carol, I said, Carol, I can't even preach it. I can't teach anymore. I can't do anything anymore. But you know what? I knew it was God. And I did have peace in it. But you know, your mind gets the best of you at times. But one day I was in a church. Hadn't said anything before people for 3 or 4 years, was in a church, and the pastor asked me to come and bring a word. and didn't ask me, just said, Gary's got a word for us all today. And when she said that, something quickened within me. I went up before the crowd, and you know what came out? The first chapter of Coming Out of Darkness. Some of you are familiar with that. God began then, at that point, that in 1995, he began to release me to speak the word that he put in my heart 20 years ago. God isn't in a hurry. And that's why I say the most important thing you can do is to stop your activity and learn how to enjoy God. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. Learn how to. We heard a wonderful message last weekend at Bob and Charlotte Tarangio's by Charlie Ryan on assimilating God. Appropriating, assimilating, and circulating, he called it. But that's what I learned how to do many years ago, was to assimilate God into my being. Not work for him, not strive for him, but to just assimilate him. I would spend hours in the scriptures. I would spend hours on my face in the church building. And I learned how to enjoy God. Jesus said, "Do you want to live by me?" That's all what we all want, right? We all want to live by him. Well, he said there's a very simple way to do that in John chapter 6. He said, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, even so he that eats me shall live by me." Well, when you eat something, you assimilate it into you. You see, we are receivers. And when we devour the things of God, when we meditate in the scriptures, when we sit in the quiet and sometimes just listen to music that would inspire us and bring us peace. Sometimes I would take my songs and I would go out by myself and just sing before the Lord. And I just get caught up in the heavenlies. You see, this is how you learn how to fly. Amen. Not by doing, but by resting in him, knowing that, if he doesn't do it, folks, it's not going to get done. Enjoying him, assimilating him. He represented himself as the spiritual essence of our physical needs. For instance, we know we need air, water, and food. And he said, "I am the living bread." You see, the bread that you eat physically, that's not the real bread. He said, "I am the bread that a man may eat and never die." And then he stood and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Not work, drink. How do we drink him? Through fellowship with him. You know, when you sit down to a meal, you have more time, right? So a meal could be compared, perhaps, to an hour in the scriptures. And don't ever go into the scriptures and try to understand it with a natural mind. But you go to the scriptures with an open heart to God for revelation, for the spiritual interpretation. And when you do that, you don't get golden cities falling out of the sky, and all of these natural things that men come up with. But you begin to get a spiritual interpretation of the word that brings you life and energizes you and quickens you in the things of God. So to eat him, again, could be compared to spending some time in his word every day or sitting for an hour and just basking in some good music that worships and praises him. And to drink him could represent something. Well, it doesn't take you long to take a drink of water, does it? I learned how to drink him on the job. And a lot of times to take a drink, like I say, the few seconds, I began to practice just on the job, turning to him, and just say a few words. "Oh Lord, I'm so thankful that you're with me today." Acknowledge him, the word says, "in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy steps." A simple acknowledgement of God in your daily life. Yet, we're so trying to please him. Our minds are so corrupted in condemning us for not being what we should be, when all the time we need to enjoy him in his forgiveness and sit down and eat with him and sup with him. It's the only way that you can learn to fly. You have to eat him. You have to drink him, and you have to breathe him. How long can you go without breathing? You can train your mind. Believe me, you can do this. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but you can train your mind so that just like the air that you breathe, you can be conscious of him. You see, the Spirit of God is like the air that surrounds and envelops us. It's everywhere. And you can learn to breathe Him in consciously until it becomes almost an unconscious act, like you're breathing, you're not conscious. See? At first, these things are an exercise. But then they become a part of you, and it's just a matter of you live. I don't have to think anymore about, you know, eating God. I live to eat and to drink and to breathe. Oh, foolish Galatians, Paul cried out, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And that's what we do a lot today. We don't condemn people, but oh, how our heart burns within us and how we sometimes travail in God to bring forth Christ in His creation. If you go to God, He'll give you the revelation, and He will speak to you. And when you understand that His precious seed is in every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, you will never again have to try to love creation. He will show you His heart. God will show you His heart for His precious seed that is in creation, and you will never again have a condemning word. But you will love and minister. You will not, you know, have a doctrine of reconciliation. You will be a reconciler. And everywhere you go, you will reconcile. You will unveil and reveal to people their true value in His sight and bring to them the revelation of Christ within them.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.